Welcome to Amazon Legends, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became power sellers. Also providers specializing in helping sellers, aggregators that acquire sellers, and former Amazonians will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here is your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. I'm happy to welcome back my next guest today because he's been on the show before. He built an Amazon operation from startup and achieved $10 million in annual run rate within 90 days. So that's a big accomplishment. And he's passionate about all forms of advertising since high school. And he's currently the marketing director at Akiko, which is an Amazon aggregator. And when he's not working, he likes traveling. And also, he traveled to all 50 states and 5 continents. So with that, everybody, meet my guest again, John Berggren. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thanks for having me back, Nick. I'm excited to be on again and chat with you about Amazon. It's one of my passions, along with the travel and all.
Yeah, I mean, you are a veteran of the industry, and you've been a seller. So there's a big difference between working with sellers when you've already been a seller yourself, because you know exactly what they're going through. So you've been there, and also you work for Akiko, which is an aggregator, which has been through quite a bit. As aggregators, all aggregators have done so, and obviously you're still there, and the company is still there. So these are all testaments to the resilience that you have individually, both also as an operation. So your experience is extremely valuable. So what we're gonna talk about today is as we record this, end of February 2024. Amazon changes constantly, but one of the things that's going on is all the copycat brands. So by international sellers, they're all on the increase. And there is also, it's not just the international ones, also inside the United States, when it's an entrepreneurial country, so everybody's looking for something. And when they see an opportunity, they move in. So today, we're going to talk about how to compete against these challenges, whether it's international or inside the U.S., and overcome these challenges. So what is your approach to taking on the competition and winning against them?
Sure. Yeah, and Amazon has changed quite a bit over the past decade, but even past couple of years. We've seen a lot of competition, like you mentioned, from Chinese sellers with very similar products to ours, as well as U.S. dropshippers and stuff like that who sell essentially the same item. And so they're kind of like two ways that you can go about competing in that market, because if not, it's kind of a race to the bottom. Everyone's gonna squeeze their profit until. And Amazon will squeeze your profit until there's nothing left. So the two ways are focusing on new product features, or like, can you change your product in a way that makes it stand out from the rest? That can be harder, especially if you're doing like white label or drop shipping, because you don't necessarily control what feature the product has. If you are like a brand owner where you control the product 100%. And you have a copycat, then creating a new version of that can be really good. Maybe you add something, some widget that didn't, that makes yours more premium or worthy of that markup that you need to survive. So that piece is really good. But that piece is hard because you're doing like product development. You're changing something might not be possible to change. And then I think the bigger thing, and the thing that is going to separate like a lot of winners and losers in the future on Amazon, is focusing on brand. And so instead of being a company that sells one item in a category, or have 5 different items that are almost identical in that same category because it's done well in the past, now you focus on expanding your assortment. So instead of selling like bath towels only and different types of bath towel, you now focus on everything in the bathroom, maybe the soap dispensers and the toothbrush holders and this and that, and maybe something more high end. I don't know exactly what that could be. Increase your AOV, but I think thinking of it that way in terms of like how do we build a bigger brand than just a product is what will separate people or separate these businesses.
Okay, so fundamentally, what you're talking about is, first of all, differentiating your product by adding other features to it. So that's one approach. And the other one is expanding your brand and then more telling your brand story, so to speak, in terms of what the brand stands for, right? That's what I'm hearing. Is that
Yep.
right?
Yeah, and we're doing both. But the first one can be harder in some cases. Whereas if you already have a supplier in the, I don't know, the kitchen space, then there might be an additional kitchen product that you could add. And that can be a faster way to, grow your brand. And then the best thing there is if people have your, let's say it's kitchen like scissors or something, and they love that product. When they go to search for something else, like a garlic press, and they see your brand name, even if it's not a household name, if they see that same name, they're like, "Oh, I have the garlic press, and so that therefore I want to get this other one." And you do get some brand recognition there, even if it's a lot of the Amazon brand names are kind of random made up things. But I think there's definitely some value to just that consistency. And then when you have that brand recognition, even if it's just at a very high level or just for that one customer, it can make a huge difference, and it'll set you apart. So if you're a dollar more or $2 or $3 more than your competitor, people will trust your brand because they're like, "Oh, I bought that soap dish from them and was good. And I had a good experience, and it's worth the extra buck to not take a risk." And so I think since there's so much saturation in a lot of categories now, if you have that like one little leg up, like, "Oh, you're, a previous customer in that brand," and you can tie it together through, imagery and all that, you can separate yourself and get that premium.
Well, there's a couple of things that I want to add to this and see what you think about it. It's first of all, you may not be able to get new features added to your product, but you can definitely play with how you are selling it. For example, are you selling it as a single item, or is your item suitable to sell in packs or bundles? And the difference between the two is pack is multiple pieces of the same item, and bundle is putting together different items. So perhaps there are ways for you to create these packs or bundles. I give you an example with one of my clients. They sell diffuser oils. So we looked into the use of diffuser oils. Where do people use them? And one of them is for like the most popular is aromatherapy, but the setting for aromatherapy is stress, to relax and chill a little bit. So what we did, we created a stress relief kit. So of course, the main item in the kit is their diffuser oil, but we added a massage ball and a roller, massage roller. And some herbal tea. So that makes up a nice kit and it's competitively priced. So, in the process, we are not only providing something that is of high value because several things that go with the concept are all together. And the other is it ups the the average ticket price, right? So that's one thing. Creating that differentiator can be not necessarily changing the product, but just presenting it a little bit different. And the other thing that I'm seeing now more and more of is there are some new tools out there that Amazon is introducing to put the emphasis on the brand, the very thing that you're talking about. So instead of product, focus on the brand so that telling that brand story, but more important, through their different advertising methods, they have a lot more ways to bring exposure to brands. So between offering your product in different ways and then using these new Amazon tools, so that looks like the new trend is there are you really need to get behind your brand and then offering more value. So what is your take on all this?
I think that diffuser example is really good, because you essentially take something that was a product, which might have an experience with it to help you relax, but now when you've turned it into a kit, it's a much bigger experience. And I think the difference between a brand and a product is an experience. So a brand is memorable because you provide that experience. So going from the product to a kit now goes from just a product to now a full brand. And I think if you look at the best brands, any of the best brands in the world, not just on Amazon, they all provide an experience that's memorable. That's why they're the brands that they are. So even like in that small example of just going from one to a larger set, or going from, just one place on your kitchen counter to everywhere on your kitchen counter, that changes your life and it provides that experience. So I definitely think that's great. It's something that most sellers aren't even thinking about on Amazon. So, and then in terms of the ad tactics and things that you can try now, there are some new features within Amazon with like customer engagement. It's pretty new, so I know some sellers have access, some don't, and all. Probably by the time this airs, more will, so check it out. But you can do essentially like emailing customers through your Seller Center portal, and you can look at different audiences that you have, like people who've interacted with who've purchased from you before, purchased recently, interacted with your brand or follow your brand, all those types of groupings, and that's a great way to like be able to, at a economical cost. There's no like cost to it yet. We'll see what Amazon does in the future. But they don't do a whole lot for free. But it's an opportunity to connect with your customer in a new way, showcase new products, showcase, that you're bigger than what they just purchased. And I think all of those components really help a lot. And then you're also just targeting people who are interested in you. So if someone liked your product and is following you, or they just purchased and they had a good experience, now you can showcase that we're a lot bigger than that. And so I think that's like a huge value add, and something that we're really excited about rolling out to all of our brands and products, because I think it helps elevate it. And it's just one more touch point that you can have with the customer that you don't necessarily get today. Like, I mean, Amazon will say, here, like, how was your purchase? And you can send a review or whatever, but that's kind of it. Once you've hit review or delete the email, we hope you have a good experience with our product, but we'll never hear from you again. So this is just like a great way to stay engaged.
So tell us how people can access that customer engagement. Are you talking about the brand tailored promotions, or is this a different feature?
There's a customer engagement beta that's out right now that allows you to do some audience targeting. So, and we've seen this on multiple platforms, not just Amazon now. I think it's going to be a very popular way of marketing. The brand tailored promotion, that's another great option, to be able to offer a discount to, showcase something new that they haven't they haven't purchased yet or didn't even know about. Because up until recently, Amazon is so product focused and not, like your brand storefronts don't get a ton of traffic compared to your product pages. And so the more you can showcase to the customer, to your customer after they purchase, the better. But yeah, both of those options are, one will be if you're like a smaller seller, don't have access yet. Once it's out, like it'll be a very helpful way to be able to communicate.
Okay, so the brand tailored promotions is under advertising. So for anybody looking for it on Seller Central, go to your Seller Central menu and then select advertising. And under advertising, you have an option called brand tailored promotions. So Amazon will automatically make, when you click create campaign, you will see like 9 or 10 options. And those options will be faded out if you don't yet qualify for them. And qualification is nothing to do with somebody deciding that you can do this. It's to do with the numbers. So it's all about Amazon shoppers' interaction with your product. For example, the most favorite one is those who added your product to their cart but haven't yet checked out. So this is like the abandoned carts, so to speak. So you can target those people with a coupon code, and not a coupon code, but with a discount. And Amazon has different ways to alert them that there is now a new price for it. So it encourages people to complete their checkout. So that's, for example, one. But they have others, and the way you qualify for them is by the number of people who have taken some action. For example, they have another campaign about people who are new to your brand, and they may have subscribed to your feed, or they may have done something. So when those numbers exceed 1,000, the option opens up. And then all you have to do is just select, there's no cost for it, select and then create a campaign. One caution is that I had one of my customers actually do this. So they offered 25% discount to the people who added to their cart but not checked out. And then they created another campaign with 25% discount for the followers of the brand. Well, a couple of smart ones combined the two. And they got 50% discount. So be careful, they can be combined, and you want to stay on top of it. The customer engagement that you're talking about is under brands, right? So if you go to brands, there are more and more and more options appearing there. For example, if you click brand analytics, it would put you on search query performance. Now they have others. And so, but within that area, you have customer engagement where you can target, right? So, there's more stuff coming out. I mean, it's hard to keep track of these things.
Yeah. I mean, you're not allowed to, like, Amazon doesn't allow you to email your customers, obviously, unless there's like customer service. That's the only time you get their email is when there's a customer service, issue or inquiry. And so I mean, we have lists, like customer lists, but we've never used them really because those customers oftentimes, luckily a very small group of customers, but not happy and it didn't have the experience that they wanted. We made it right, but oftentimes like that's not the best customer to go after with an email campaign or something. And I'm pretty sure that's against Amazon rules anyway, but we've never been able to do, like email outreach to customers. Both of these options kind of provide that avenue, indirectly, but like through Amazon, but it's still a way to do that outreach.
I mean, indirectly. So you're not getting the customer's email address, but you actually have access to that audience that Amazon has defined for you based on their interactive action. So there is one thing that I guess, since we are talking about customer outreach somewhat, we have to mention, and that is the package insert, leveraging package inserts to obtain the customer's email for the purposes of offering additional value. So, we've had a few episodes about this. We discussed different ways, but the goal here is obviously to create a following, not to divert the customer, but to get into a direct relationship by offering value that Amazon would approve of. For example, I have clients who offer extended warranties. I have clients who offer a gift if they sign up. So these things go towards primarily getting the customer to write a review. And then secondarily, say, oh, I like to have this. It's free, there's no charge for it. But of course, in order to deliver it legitimately, because both of them, whether it's extended warranty or, gift, you need the details of the person. So therefore, you need to have the customer's email address and in some cases, mail. So then you have the email address. So then it's up to you what you do with it. They become part of your. So what are your thoughts about this?
So I've heard a lot of horror stories with inserts and like people not following the rules. So that's one thing that I would just caution and like make sure you really understand what's allowed and what's not allowed for an insert. But if you do it correctly, your account health will be fine, and you will be able to reach your customers in an interesting way. I think a lot of the time, like especially from China sellers, that there is almost always some business card in there that says something about a warranty or gift or something encouraging a review or satisfaction in some way. I don't know exactly what the response rate of all of that is, but I mean, getting some emails is better than none, and avoiding bad feedback if you can is better than getting bad feedback, and not being able to address it, quickly. So yeah, I think it's worth doing. I just would be very careful if I were a seller and make sure you're not packaging just anything into the box, because if Amazon's not happy with it, there could be bad consequences.
Yeah, I mean you'll get in trouble. Yeah, it's, I
So
mean terms of service is key. You need to, I mean primarily you ought to be offering value. So something that the customer would appreciate. So there has to be value there. Amazon always likes sellers offering value. And also, there has to be a legitimate reason for you to get their information. So, I mean, warranties, yeah, everybody offers, but what's the warranty for? That's something that will question the value of the warranty. So, those are things that you want to be careful with. And the other thing is, I mean, these are little things, but Amazon does not like Amazon shoppers divert to an external site. So it's one thing to bring the customer to into a website where you have all kinds of other stuff going on and you're trying to upsell. That's one thing. But it's a totally different thing if you just bring them to a registration form and the form just simply says, okay, tell us where to deliver your stuff. Then obviously there is nothing there that is diverting. It's just collecting the information. So it's just the, it's a thin ice without a doubt. But the if it's done right, then obviously it's delivering value to Amazon shopper and you're not breaking any of the rules and you're benefiting from it. So I would not just listen to this episode and say, oh, I better go do it and just do it yourself. Consult with an expert. There are many companies who do this. Reach out to John, reach out to me. So, always happy to help, but just don't go jumping into these things. But yeah, John, I want to hear from you some of the advertising tactics, because Amazon now, they have, in the old days, they had sponsored products and sponsored brands. They had a little bit of sponsored display, but it wasn't really that visible. So now they have sponsored products, sponsored brands, sponsored display, and sponsored TV. And sponsored brand is also splitting up into sponsored brand video. You can advertise a product collection. You can advertise your store, bring them into the store. Because one of the underutilized aspects of Amazon operation, or I should say infrastructure by sellers, is the store, right? The storefront. So it to me, it looks like Amazon is trying to push sellers to bring more exposure to the store. So tell us a little bit about, your take on all this, what's going on with different advertising, use of the store, and what's the best way that is working for you right now for your brands?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people think that there's total saturation in sponsored products and even some sponsored brands, or the sponsored brand CPC is just so expensive that it's not profitable. I think as more sellers start to think about becoming a brand on Amazon instead of a seller on Amazon, there are some components of display and I think video is a really big one that's underutilized because video is hard. Just it's harder to make a video than a banner. But I've seen a lot of like AI tools that can help with video or even like create slideshows that work as a video. It's not, the most beautiful cinematic experience ever, but it allows you to take up that real estate, and that's something that once you start that and you see the impact, then we've seen that a lot with sponsor brand video, and much smaller than sponsor product, obviously, but in terms of volume, but in terms of like brand building, getting impressions, and driving some sales, you can start with something that's more templatized, and then once you see the success, you'll realize like, oh, we should invest in this, and spend more on our video production. But I think that's definitely something that's underutilized. I see a lot of brands that don't really use video, and just because it's hard, and they're missing out essentially on some pretty good real estate. And if you're not getting clicks and orders from video, you are getting impressions and your product listing below it, or above it, and it adds brand credibility too. So harder to measure those things, but it does have an impact. And if you're not, if it's relevant traffic, you're not getting the click, you're not spending, but you are getting your name out there, and so that can be really helpful. And then within sponsored display, there's now sponsored display video, and you can repurpose a lot of assets in those formats too. I think display video, like going with something shorter. Because you're probably, on a product page or something versus just scrolling through and then watch a video. It's a little different medium, but you can, slice and dice your video content accordingly. So, how far you can scale that, I think, is kind of up to you because, you have to think about your return on ad spend and your profitability. It's these don't always generate the same return at the same scale as some of the other ad types like sponsored products. But if you're looking to build your brand and grow, those are definitely ways to do it. And I think as Amazon progresses here, I know they're pushing for a lot more of that, maybe faster than the profitability and return component is keeping up. So you have to keep that in mind. But it's definitely kind of like where things are headed, given that, sponsored products is more saturated than it ever has been 2 years ago, I said the same thing. So I still think there's opportunity, but yeah, it's definitely a good way to build a brand.
I have a question for my listeners. Are you experiencing cash flow challenges with your Amazon business? Well, silly question. Who is not, right? So let me introduce you to Viably, a unique solution tailored for Amazon sellers and e-commerce enterprises. By connecting your Seller Central or Shopify account, you can promptly access funding along with a variety of financial tools, all for a flat fee. It's as simple as that. And for my listeners, they are offering an extra $1,500 in funding for eligible applications. Start your quick and easy application today at runviably.com/legends, and that's runviably.com/legends. Yeah, well, I had a presentation by one of the Amazon advertising team members recently about one of my clients about their advertising performance in general. So what they shared was not only their performance, but also what they call the peer performance. So what is the competition doing? And they shared an interesting piece of statistics. What they said was sponsored products are the actionable campaigns where you're driving towards somebody making a purchase. So what they found was those who focus their advertising budget on sponsored products only, they get something like almost 70% of the purchases come in not on the same day, but up to 90 days. So, in other words, somebody sees your sponsored product ad, even if they intend to purchase it, they don't purchase it the same day. So 70% of those people, that means 70 people who have out of the hundreds who have seen your sponsored product ad, don't buy it if they end up buying after in the following days, up to 90 days. However, if you are running a diverse campaign by spending some of your advertising budget on sponsored brands, sponsored brand video, and sponsored display, then that 70% shrinks by about 30 plus percent. So if you think about this, this is a huge deal because instead of getting 30% of your audience that you are reaching with your sponsored product buying the same day, if that becomes double, that's a huge deal. You're getting an immediate return on your cash, but you have to spend money on sponsored brand and sponsored display.
But the customer can only click on one ad, or they can click on all of them, but typically they click on one and enter and purchase. So,
Yeah, I mean, they can see, it's another thing. They can see the sponsored product ad and they can click on it, which will take them to product detail page, and they don't buy it. Or they may say, oh, okay, I'll add it to my cart. And the next thing is, they're not buying, they don't complete. And then they see this sponsored product or they see the sponsored display ad. Now you're making an impression, right? So at that point, they are encouraged. I mean, apparently this is what is happening. So they put side by side my client's performance, which was 91.6% of the budget was on sponsored product. They said, we'd like, and here is what the peer performances, and it was 66%. So really what they want is one third of your advertising budget to go to other things that will support the two third to get better results. That's what they were getting.
Yeah, and I'm pretty convinced that the like, and I've seen studies with the conversion rate increasing as well. So your conversion rate is, let's say, 1% with sponsored product only, 2% with sponsor brand and sponsor product, and 5% with all three. The only caveat I have with the Amazon data is they'll say, like, compared to your peers, what they're doing. And oftentimes the advertisers who spend the most money have the most ad types because they have the most robust program, and they're the biggest because they had a runway of revenue and bestseller badge and all that. And their conversion rate because of it is higher. So then when you look at the comparison, it's you compare, one that's running all three ad types, high conversion rate, bestseller badge, great rating, lots of history, with maybe your brand that is new and doesn't have all these things. So there is like a tiny, and maybe they are picking an apples to apples brand that's not the best, and not the worst brand, but something comparable to you. But if they pick just like where does most of the spend go, then it's going to be the biggest seller. So there's a little bias there, I think, in the data. But I think the general consensus is still true that they're seeing a higher conversion rate because they're doing all this too. So it goes both ways. Like it's kind of a chicken or the egg. Like, are they doing well with conversion rate because they're so big and great, or are they doing well because they're doing everything and they're doing all the ad types and that's making them big and great? So it's challenging to know. The only thing I do know is that Amazon will make more if everyone does this. So that's the only piece where I think, oh, well, maybe there is that slight, bias with the data with who they're comparing. And then I've seen a lot of like comparison studies, and it's always like, oh, your biggest competitor is spending 50% more than you, and if you did that, then you would be more competitive, right? And which is helpful to know, but maybe not always the best idea, because they'll go to them next and say, oh, your competitor is spending more, right? And then you just chase each other up. So just like, I think as long as you keep those things in mind, it's good. But I also agree that, taking over more real estate on the page improves credibility. That's a common thing, and it improves conversion rate and click-through rate because of it.
I mean, I am always in favor of being aware of what the competition is doing, but doing what the competition does is not always the right thing to do. I mean, it's all my favorite example is, you could be in an exam sitting next to this guy who's appears to be like answering all the questions, and then you copy what he has. Well, what are you doing exactly? I mean, how do you know that his answers are the right answers, right? So you're just copying what he has. It's good to be aware of the competition, but you really need to do your own thing in terms of what's in your best interest that is also going to address what the competition is doing. So, I mean, that's the best way to go about it. There is another aspect of this brand building business. So it's true that when somebody makes a purchase, these small Amazon brands, so to speak, it's a done deal, right? But all those purchases are inside every Amazon shopper's Amazon account. So it's not like the relationship is a one-time deal and then it's lost. It's there. They know who they bought from, and how much they paid and all that stuff. So I was just wondering if there is a way to leverage that.
I mean, through things like the email, outreach, and that can work well for that. I think it's kind of just a benefit of being on Amazon. So like you're going to show up in their buy it again section, their recommendations for previously purchased. That's a huge benefit. And like once you're in the door with someone and they had a good experience, to get those repeat purchases is just a benefit of being on the platform. And you don't pay for those placements, which is great. And so I think that's part of it. And then yeah, I mean it's kind of like the flywheel or whatever snowball that Amazon has, where once you get that momentum and you start showing up more because you're relevant to these people, these customers that you have, then you get that benefit. So in terms of how to leverage it, I don't know if there's like too much yet, but I think that's, what we talked about earlier would definitely help you amplify those types of pieces.
And of course, the key is to be in stock all the time. So
Yeah,
that
yeah.
buy it again feature. I mean, I often go to my Amazon account and then, like, especially if it's consumable, you don't want to go anywhere else. So you're happy with it, you just simply go click and then buy it again. But if it's not in stock, now you're forcing the shopper to go look for an alternative.
And I
So.
often, I'll use it to look at, if I'm repeating my purchase, like, oh, what did I pay last time? Where, it says it's on sale, but is it actually, it was on sale last time. Did I pay 20 or 25? Like that's helpful. So there's just a lot of like, once you're in that order history, once you have the customer, as long as they were happy, you could have them forever. That's really cool.
Let's talk a little bit about the sponsored display. So we discussed sponsored brand. I mean, sponsored product, obvious. Sponsored brand. So sponsored brand is it's expensive if you see those big banners at the top of the page. But the sponsored video ads, brand video ads, they are affordable, but most important, they get pretty good return. So my experience is, you can get 10x return on sponsored brand video. So they're definitely worth it. They can drive traffic to your product detail page or to your store, your storefront. And if your storefront is designed to bring exposure to certain products, then you can actually use that combination where driving traffic to your storefront that has the showcase of those select products where people can just click add to cart and then buy it right there and then. Sponsored brand video would be a good way to drive traffic to that. And of course, the storefront needs to be set up a certain way. The other advantage of driving traffic to the storefront is its captive audience within your product offerings, because there is no more other Amazon sellers. If they do a search, they are searching within your store. So that's another way, right? So on the sponsored brand, I think that's another advantage, right, John?
Yeah, definitely. And with the video piece, video is a great opportunity to tell a story about your product or brand. Has to be a quick one with sponsored brand video. But you can do a quick 2 or 3 part story, and that, can help someone connect with you more than just like, here's my product image and that's it. Definitely a great way to build a brand and get that connection and stand out from your copycat is because like you had a moving story that, got someone to think about you differently, or just stand out, and your competitor wasn't there because there's only one video spot. So if you have it, you can tell the story. If you don't have it, you miss out.
I mean, video is definitely key these days, especially. Everything is all about video. So one thing that I tell my clients usually is I get them to have a 90-second video, a promotional video for their product, professionally made, and that goes on the product detail page. But it is done in a way that it can easily be used to spin off a few 30-second videos from that. So you're not necessarily paying for a video to be created for that purpose. You can take that same video and just slice and dice in different ways to create a 30-second video. So that way it doesn't cost you a lot. You already have the foundation of it. And at the same time, you've got new material to use for the sponsored brand videos. So that's always something that we found useful. And it doesn't take extra cash, doesn't take extra time to produce it. It's just repurposed content, right?
It's a great way to do it and really efficient. So,
Yeah. Let's talk about sponsored display, the best use of sponsored display. So what is your take on sponsored display?
I mean, the best use is showing up on competitor listings. So that, which is like the standard placement for it. I think going forward and to kind of continue the, and that's where the ROI is on sponsored display. But if you going forward thinking about branding, I think a lot of shopping on Amazon now is getting kind of boring if for a lot of categories. If there's 30 copycats and they're all just truly copying each other because they think that that's the best practice way to win, it's going to be a really boring experience. And maybe Amazon, like shopping on Amazon, it's okay if it's boring. But what I'm really excited about over the next 5 years is I think the brands that are going to stand out are the ones that do it differently, and they'll be copied, but do something totally different and really try to stand out. And I think video is a good way to do that and to tell that story. But a display banner, if it, had some element to it that is just totally different than what we've seen, or is really beautiful. I think a lot of like the design templates, that, where you pull in products, it doesn't look that great. I mean, it looks like just a product listing template. If you do something focused on your branding and trying to convey that message there, I think there's an opportunity to really stand out from all these copycat sellers. So that's one of the things that I'm most excited about is like, how do you get new products on Amazon or change your existing product that's being copied and do it in a radically different way that catches the consumer's eye and gets them to pick you over everyone else. And I don't know if all of the copycats will just chase that thing, or I mean, eventually they will, but you could have a really good runway for a long time if you found something different that worked. Because the copycats, they copy products really quickly, but the unique marketing tactic, I've seen it last for like 2 or 3 years before a competitor catches on to like the reason why people are picking you versus them. So encouraging, sellers to do something unique and creative, especially through sponsored display, is a way to stand out in an efficient way too. Like you can get so many impressions for not a lot of money.
Well, on the use of sponsored display, there is another tactic. So sponsored display ads appear on your product detail page, and you can target your competition, and equally, your competition can target you. So, on your product detail page, they can place their ads. So, there's like a few spots above the right where the breadcrumbs line is for your category, above the picture, or right below the picture. Under the add to cart page or buy box, so to speak. These are the locations where you have product display ads running. If you fill those with your own ads, then that's a defensive way to protect your product detail page. So you're basically running your own ads on your own product detail page to stop the competition from taking up those spaces to present theirs. What do you think about that tactic?
No, I love that using that tactic. And a lot of, I know a lot of sellers hate it because they're like, I already have them on my product page. I don't want to pay, have them go to another one of my product pages. But the reality is they're picking an item that's better, right? They found one of yours that's maybe not the best, and they're more interested in something, you know, maybe not a better product, but better for them, because it's what they wanted. So they click on that, and now you're giving them something they'll be happy with. And then, yeah, the reality is they would have, if you were not there, your competitor would have been there, and they might have clicked and purchased
Right.
that instead. And you probably paid to get them to your product page in the first place. So if they pay to get to your product and then they click a competitor and buy that, you just spent money on nothing. You're just feeding your competitor. And all they needed to do is just pay for the second click.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, defensive strategies are really important. You won't be happy paying the money because you know that they were already interested in you. But you know that that money was spent towards protecting yourself.
Well, I mean, you could advertise the same product.
You can advertise the same product. You can also like start to cross sell. So going back to the brand conversation, if you know wanted to advertise your bundle instead of the diffuser only, if they're on the diffuser, you could showcase that or showcase a different type of product. Maybe sell a yoga mat too, and so you have your yoga ad on there, and then you know maybe you could get an add-on purchase, or maybe they were actually interested in something related, but not that. If you put the yoga mat on there, it's not totally relevant to that product. It's like a similar item in terms of category,
So
but not exactly the same.
you could put the bundle.
Right,
Yeah,
exactly. But even with the yoga mat, you're showing that you're bigger than this product. You know, you're bigger than this item, and that you're like a whole wellness company and a chill, you know, relaxation company instead of just a diffuser with an ad for your competitor's diffuser. Like one experience is just much better as a seller than the other. And as a customer, it's all yours. So you own the page. Yeah.
Now, I mean, this really needs to be tested. So what I heard from Amazon was, if you advertise the same product in those spots that the shopper is on, they don't click it anyway. So all you are doing is you are simply stopping the competition from taking up space on your product page. For and by advertising the same product, you are also, leaving no point in clicking that ad by the shopper. So then you save money without spending money, and you save the shopper, you keep the shopper. So it may be another way to test. But to your point, if your brand, you want the brand to look bigger than just one single product, and you want to present that variety of options, then obviously putting your products there. Now, there is one thing also that I want to share with you, something I do from time to time. So if you add something to your cart, but you don't buy it, without running any campaigns or anything like that, if the price of the item has changed, even by a penny, when you, as a shopper, you go to Amazon, it's going to show a big notification that the price of one of the items in your cart has changed. So you are therefore encouraged to go take a look. What happened to which item, what price, and how much has it changed? So this is not brand tailored promotion. This is just a fact. And especially those sellers who are resellers of other products, they play the buy box, right? So they're constantly changing the price. So this becomes more of a utilitarian thing that Amazon is doing to say, look, you put something in your cart, but the price has changed. So what is your take on it? So I mean, my point is, you could actually go just change your price by a penny, penny up or penny down, and that's enough to bring attention. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think with any business, there's a lot of like pricing activity, or any of the marketplaces, a lot of that pricing activity can essentially give you, like you said, if that pop-up shows up and it says the price is lower, it's essentially a free coupon that you don't need to pay for. So and
Yeah,
it
for sure.
highlights your product and you have someone searching for you, they're clearly interested. So yeah, pricing activity is good. I think right now with the copycat items, there's so much downward pressure on price and everyone's competing. But maybe you don't need that. Maybe you just play, up and down 50 cents or a dollar, and then you get the, you might not get all the sales because the day that you're higher, your competitor might be always lower. But yeah, you can, if you have a bunch of add to carts on the low day, then you go higher and then you go low again, and they get the notification.
Yeah.
Then you can convert later on. So yeah, I think it's an interesting tactic and worth playing around with. I think pricing is just a constant game, whether your price, your coupon, a promotion, discounts, whether you can participate in any type of deal, all of these things. It's like, always this gymnastics of levers you can pull, but yeah, the free ones are the best. If you don't have to pay, and you get those notifications, that's the best.
Well, great discussion. So, I mean, we can go on forever. There's always something new with Amazon. So, what's new with you? Share with us some of the, I mean, this is almost still somewhat the beginning of the year. So, what are your plans? I know that you've been in this space a long, long time. So, give us the scoop on that.
Yeah, so I mean, well, so with work, we're expanding a lot, new products, expanding our brands, like I mentioned, so that's really exciting. We're expanding, across many marketplaces beyond just the Amazon ecosystem. I know that's what we're discussing today, but there's, there are just ways to grow, and that's my specialty is just finding growth opportunities with marketing, and we've been able to do kind of it all. So that's been really exciting. And then personally, my wife just had a son, so I've been spending a lot of time with him. He's 5 months old, and, yeah, keeping me up at night, but we're having a good time playing and hanging out. So.
You will have your hands full for the next 5 years at least.
I think 18 years.
Well,
Maybe.
the problems, I don't have kids, so I could not speak from experience, but from what I hear, the nature of the problems never go away. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger. They change formation, so but yeah, from responsibility standpoint, 18 years.
Yeah, but luckily he's been a good kid, so I don't. If the problems get bigger, he's very happy, so he'll just get happier and happier. That's my goal.
Well, yeah, I mean, happiness is the ultimate goal, right?
Yeah,
So.
that's what I'm focused on right now. Just growth and, yeah, having my son grow.
Well, exactly. Now you have to because with a kid, it's more responsibility. So I guess less travel, less of the stuff that you spend some free time on, right?
Oh yeah. So I haven't traveled much at all recently. So yeah, I know you started with the 50 states and all these continents, and yeah, life has changed.
You have to, when the opportunity comes, you have to do these things because after a while, you never know if you'll be able to do them.
Yeah, but I look forward to traveling with him when he can walk. Yeah,
Yeah.
we'll see. So, but yeah, he's gonna be a traveler for sure. It's
Well,
in my DNA. So
exactly. It'll take, it's a family tradition, I guess.
yeah. I might need
Yeah.
to do all 50 states again with him. So we'll see.
Well, it will be a whole different experience. And well, in many ways, I mean, first of all, obviously traveling with him would be something. And, but more important, the country is changing too, right? So. It's the country is becoming a totally different, the landscape is changing and culture is changing. So experience will be, I'm sure, will be totally different.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Great. So tell us, John, how can people reach you, share your contact information?
Yeah, I think the best is on LinkedIn. If you just search my name on LinkedIn, I should pop right up. Or if you go to mynamecom It'll take you to my LinkedIn. So yeah, those are the best. I'm not big on social media, so I keep all my secrets with Nick. So if you want my secrets, you have to listen to this podcast. If not, that's it. So
And John is always good to respond. So if you reach out to him through LinkedIn and he'll respond. And Akiko is still as an aggregator or any change in business models?
yeah, no, we're still an aggregator. I mean, things have changed a lot in the Amazon space, in the aggregator space, over the past, 4 years. But yeah, normal operations, I would say.
Yeah, great. Thank you for being here, John. Thank you for the conversation.
Thanks so much, Nick. Really appreciate being on again. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Before I go, a quick reminder to say goodbye to your cash flow problems and claim your extra $1,500 when you qualify for $25,000 or more in funding. Go to www.runviably.com/legends and start your application today.
Thank you. And this brings us to the end of another episode. I'll see you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the episode, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it too.